was in prison, locked up in chains. Sin held me captive to sorrow and shame. Years of frustrations as love passed me by, until the Master heard my heart's cry.
For grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon and make me whole. Grace, marvelous grace, flows from above, infinite love, marvelous grace. I was downhearted, broken inside, praying for mercy with nowhere to hide. But there was a Savior searching for me, and grace overflowing set my soul free. For grace, marvelous grace, I needed grace to pardon and make me whole. Grace, marvelous grace, flows from above, infinite love, marvelous grace.
Grace, grace,
God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Flows from above, infinite love, grace.
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you, folks. Very good. 2 Samuel 9. So if you got your book there, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to look at this story for a few moments tonight, actually one aspect in particular. And so please find that passage, 2 Samuel chapter. While you're finding that, we went through some of the financial numbers at the end of the service last Sunday night, and showed you the difference in the last 3 months, this time period. I think you remember the $60,000 difference. And I got a phone call after church from one of the brothers, and he explained a few things to me about some things that had happened at the end of 2020. And so it wasn't near as bad as what it looks like, and I'm thankful to know that. And probably, I don't think, I mean, it obviously didn't cover the whole $60,000, but when you add in the fact that four families that had been, you know, givers had moved on, and the stimulus tithe and all that stuff, it may not be near as bad as it looks. So I had a much better week this week. Amen. And I don't know if he's telling me the truth or not, but it sure rolled my anxiety away. Amen. So, but no, it was a blessing to I wanted to share that with you. Let's stand together in honor of God's word, and I'm going to drop all the way down to the last verse in the chapter, the last verse in chapter 9, and we are going to look at some other verses in this chapter. And we've been in this passage before and actually touched on what we're going to preach about before, but follow along. So the Bible says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, lame feet at the king's table. Lame feet at the king's table. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be in church. Help us tonight, Father. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I really believe this. Why you put that last sentence in this chapter is important. And what it teaches us symbolically is important to relationships. And in particular, the one we're emphasizing this year, the family, marriage, home. But in every other relationship as well. Now, we're going to need a quick mind tonight to listen carefully. So I pray that you'll sharpen our thinking and concentration. Fill us with your spirit. That will help. Our hearts need to be hungry for truth. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So help us to have the right appetite tonight, and help us all together as we look in your word. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. There are many stories in the Old Testament that are what we call types, okay? That is, they are symbolic of other people or symbolic of Bible doctrines. Now, one thing you need to nail down when you're talking about types, stories that are types are never completely perfect pictures, okay, of what they represent. They get close in some cases, but they're never complete. A case in point is Joseph, Jacob's son. You remember one of the 12 boys of Jacob, the one with the coat of many colors, the favored son. Well, there are so many pictures of Jesus woven into the story of Joseph. I'll give you a few to think about. Joseph was beloved of his father. Is that not a picture of Jesus Christ? Okay. Joseph was hated by his brethren. Jesus said, I came into my own, John wrote, he came into his own received him not. Okay. Joseph was sold for silver. So was Jesus. Joseph was accused falsely. So was Jesus. Joseph prepared a place for his brethren. Amen. So is Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay. Joseph forgave his brethren. And so does the Lord Jesus. So, and folks, there are others in Joseph's story, but those are the ones just in a brief, just a brief summary tonight that you can think about. So that story, the story of Joseph, and other stories in the Old Testament that are types, provide insight into the person or doctrine they represent. And again, they are never perfect pictures, but they are close enough for us to learn more about who or what they represent. Such is the case with the story of Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, here are some truths about Mephibosheth and what his life story pictures. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Now, Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. And the reason he was lame on his feet is because he took a fall when he was a small boy. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4. When he was young, Mephibosheth's nanny, Bible word is the word nurse, his nurse picked him up and started running to safety with him when she heard that his daddy Jonathan and his granddaddy Saul had been killed. So she's thinking, okay, they're going to come up for Mephibosheth next. So she picks up Mephibosheth, and she starts running, and I don't know, the Bible's not clear about what happened, if she dropped him or if they're running together and their feet get tangled, but they fell, and Mephibosheth was lame from his fall. Now, Mephibosheth is a picture of every human being in the world. We are crippled by a fall. We are crippled by the fall of Adam. Adam fell in disobedience to God. And because he is the father of the human race, we all have a sin nature. We are all sinners. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we are sinners by way of a fall. Does that make sense to you? Okay. That's the picture. Okay. It's not a perfect picture, but close enough. Look at verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. So David sent to Lodibar. Now listen, this is where Mephibosheth lived. And boy, there's a lot of typology in the place Lodibar. It's the place of no pasture. And by the way, when you're lost without Christ, there's nothing in life that can satisfy. Okay, so there's so much in this, folks. We could spend a week, two through three sermons in this and never drain it dry. That's the whole book right there. You can't drain it dry. It's a deep well, okay? So Mephibosheth could not come to the king. So what did the king do? He went to Mephibosheth. So notice they fetched him right out of the house where he was living. And the truth of the matter is, we could not, because of our fall, we could not go where God is. So God sent Jesus to us. And God came right to us through salvation in Jesus. We, you know, people say all the time, well, I found God. No, nobody finds God. God finds us. Okay? God came to where we were, right where we were, and picked us up in his chariot called grace. Amen. They loaded Mephibosheth in the chariot. Away he went to Jerusalem. Another type, all right? Just a little something we can learn. Look at verse 7. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. So Mephibosheth ate at the king's table the rest of his life. And David, now watch it, restored to Mephibosheth all the land that had belonged to his grandfather Saul. Well, you know what God did when he saved us? He restored us to fellowship with him. And now we get to eat at the king's table in fellowship with the king. So there's just a lot in here, okay? More than we're going to talk about tonight. The parts of this story, 2 Samuel 9, are all pictures of salvation and by grace and God's grace to us. We were hopeless, living in the land of Lodibar, no pasture, living in our sinful, lost condition because of our fall in Adam. God sent us the offer of salvation, and he showed us that kindness because of his son, Jesus. And when we said yes to his offer and Jesus saved us, we became an adopted child of the king and were restored to fellowship with him. And it all happened by the wonderful grace of God. You can read that chapter every day this week and it'll squeeze your heart. It is a great story. But there's one more part of the picture that we need to think about for tonight's message. And you've got to pay attention to make sure, because the rest of the message is built on this one truth here, okay? About this story. Verse 13. Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. He did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now Mephibosheth, if he's at the king's house, he's probably wearing new garments, right? We don't know that, but probably. He's wearing new garments. He's sitting at the king's table. He's restored to fellowship with the king. David's restored everything that he lost. But he is still lame on both his feet. After all that David had done for him, Mephibosheth still experienced the consequences of his fall. His feet were still lame. And as wonderful as salvation is for you and me and all that it does for us, it hasn't fully yet fixed the problem that we're still lame on both feet. Still got a sin nature. Sin nature hadn't gone anywhere. Now listen carefully. Often in the Bible, the word walk is used as a synonym for live. For instance, Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. You can substitute the word live there as a synonym for walk. I will live in thy truth. Romans 6:4, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should live in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, mentioned this verse this morning, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The word walk and live by faith, not by sight. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Live, Christian, in the Spirit. Ephesians 5:8. Walk as children of light. Live as children of light. Now, that is five examples, but I could give you so many more. You could take your concordance and look up the word walk, do a little search on a Bible program, limit it to the New Testament, limit it to the book of Romans through the book of Jude, and see how many times the word walk could substitute or synonym there for the word live. All right? Are we together? We understand, right? Now, the point is this. After salvation, we still possess our sin nature. We still have to deal with the results of the fall. in our efforts to walk or live for God, we still have the hindrance of being lame on both feet. Now, people, if we're physically speaking, if we're lame on both feet, it's tough to walk. Right? That's very difficult. But our sin nature can make it difficult to walk or live for God after we are saved. Might as well admit that. Might as well admit it. Okay? Now, stop. The blessed truth is that even with our sin nature still intact, the Holy Spirit gives us power and victory over sin. Okay? Sin does not have to reign in our bodies. We can live victorious over sin. I talked about that last Sunday morning, coming out of Egypt as victors. That's how we came out of being lost. We came into salvation as victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, this message is not designed. I'm going to say this at the start because somebody will misinterpret this. This message is not designed to give us an excuse for living under sin's power. This is not designed for that. Through the Holy Spirit, working with the Word of God in our lives, we can live soberly, we can live righteously, and we can live godly in this present world. So this message is not designed to let us off the hook when it comes to sin in our lives. This message is designed to help us in our family and close relationships in this life. So think with me just about this. Mephibosheth, he's living in David's house, the king's house. He ate at the king's table, wearing the garments the king provided. But when Mephibosheth left the table, he either had to have help or he dragged himself around the palace with his own strength. In other words, David lived with an adopted son who he fed with his food, clothed with his clothes, covered with his roof, did all that for him, and still the young man suffered from the result of his fall. Husband, wife, do you know who you live with? You live with a spouse who still suffers from the result of the fall. Even though they are saved, they still deal with the results of their sin nature. And as diligent as they may be to walk, to live for God, once in a while, maybe a little more often than once in a while, being lame on both feet is going to affect how they live. It's going to show up. I'm not talking about being soft on sin. I'm not talking about excusing sin. I'm not talking about being soft on people giving ground to the devil. I am talking about people who love the Lord. They love their spouse. They love their children. They love serving God at home and at the church. They still have to deal with their fallen nature. And every once in a while, and more often than once in a while, being lame on our feet is going to show up. Y'all with me? Okay. Not excusing sin, but the bottom line is we're still lame on both feet. All of us. Okay? So get these lessons tonight. First of all, the ones we love are going to display their lameness every now and again. The ones we love are going to display their lameness every now and again. Was Abraham saved? Okay. He's called the father of the faithful. Did Abraham try to please the Lord? Well, he offered his son Isaac on the altar in obedience to God. Did Abraham love Sarah? Yeah. Well, guess what? He lied about her. Not once, but twice, putting her in the place of danger in order to protect himself. What should Sarah do? Leave him? What should Sarah do? Live with him the rest of their lives, the rest of her life, with a grudging, unforgiving spirit? No, she should remember that Abraham, as good a man as he was, still suffered from being lame on both feet. She should remember that. How about Paul? Was Paul saved? No doubt about it. Barnabas? Yep. Barnabas wanted to give John Mark another chance. Paul said no. The contention was so sharp that those friends separated. Well, I mean, Paul and Barnabas, the missionary brothers together. What in the world? I'll tell you what in the world. That's the results of lameness. Their lameness was on display. And husband, wife, you're not going to live with that spouse till death do you part without seeing the results of their lameness once in a while. Sir, listen, man, your wife has 21 days where she is sweet as can be, and then she has a couple days where her lameness shows, and maybe she snaps at you. And you know what? Instead of just realizing, well, she shouldn't snap at me. Well, probably not. But you know what she is? She's still lame on her feet. And so instead of getting all huffy and having no patience with her and snapping back and seeing something that could be put to rest with a little patience, it escalates into an all-out war, an argument, because a man won't realize that his wife is still lame on both her feet. She's not going to be perfect, fellas. Not going to live perfect. Ma'am, your husband is patient. He's helpful. And then his selfishness shows up. That's probably the number one sin for us men. It's selfishness. That's why God told us to love our wives as we love ourselves. Our selfishness shows up. And you know, we're mean as an old hound dog. And, you know, lady, you think to yourself, he should have more consideration for me and the kids. And so I'm just going to puff up back, and he should never, I know he should. But you know what, ladies? He's still lame on both his feet. He's still lame on both his feet. Look, if he works hard at remodeling the bathroom, and it's just hard, and he puts in all those days of remodeling the bathroom, and then he talks about man throwing an axe at your spouse, there's a problem. He's lame on both his feet. And maybe up here, too. I don't know. I'm just teasing Alan. I told him I was going to have some fun. Why do we live like we expect perfection out of people? And here's why this really hits home, because we'll put up with the imperfections in folks that are not. And we don't put up with it at home. Ouch. Should I just give the invitation now? Kids, your parents are helpful and kind and loving. And then you overhear them with angry voices arguing with each other. And then it carries over to you and you get yelled at. Well, they should not get so angry. I know. I understand. But hey, listen up. They're still lame on both feet. Yeah, your dad, your mom. As good as they are, they're lame. And by the way, so are you. And parents, that child's lameness will show. And sometimes you don't need to throw the book at them when their lameness shows. There's time to have mercy with kids. You draw the line. Let them know where that line is. Let them know what happens if they cross that line. But my goodness, folks, if God took his children to the woodshed every time we deserved it, that would be our permanent address. So you and I ought to have the same relationship with our children that our Father has with us. There are times when kids deserve a little bit of mercy because they're lame on both of their feet. And that's where it's important for a dad and his wife, a dad and mom to walk with God and be sensitive to the Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to impress upon you, hey, this time you just need to have a little mercy. This time. We're lame on our feet, folks. Look, I say this again because I don't want this to be misinterpreted. I am not encouraging anybody to be soft on sin. I am not encouraging parents to let their child's disobedience or rebellion go with the justification. Well, they're sinners. That's not what I am promoting. I am saying that after we are saved, we're still going to deal with the results of our fall. We have a sin nature, and once in a while, and don't look so pious. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and the things that I want to do, I don't do. What's he saying? I'm still lame on my feet. That's what he's saying. Still have a sin nature. I got to deal with it. Number two, understanding is in order when our loved one's lameness shows. Understanding is in order. You know, if we would just take time to think before we speak, when our loved one's lameness shows. You know, God remembers that we're lame on both feet and he has patience with us. Amen. Listen to Psalm 103:12. Listen to this verse. You love this verse. You know it. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he, God, removed our transgressions from us. I pointed this out countless times. You know it. You knew it before I pointed it out. Many of you did. I love the Bible language. He didn't say north to south. That's a measurable distance. You could take a tape measure if it's long enough and go from the North Pole to the South Pole and figure out that distance. God didn't remove our sins from us that many miles. No, he removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And if I start walking west, I can never stop walking west. And if I start walking east, I can never stop walking east. So our sins are removed further from us than you could ever, if you can't find them. What a blessing. Don't tell me that book is not. The very word's just incredible. Then he says this. Now, he just said about our sins being removed. Then he says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You know what that's saying? God remembers, even after we're saved, he remembers we're still lame on both feet. God's not soft on sin. But somewhere in the book of Psalms is the verse that I just talked about. He doesn't take us to the woodshed every time we deserve it. So what does that mean, folks? Must be a little understanding on the part of our Father. They're still lame. They're saved. I've removed their sins as far as the east is from the west. You can't find them. I put my spirit within them. I gave them my truth wrapped up in a book. I surrounded them by brothers and sisters in Christ at a local church. I gave them a home in heaven. Their name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's never going to change. Amen. But you know what? They're still lame. They're still lame. Now, if God treats us that way, how should you treat that loved one in your family? Amen. He knows our frame. He understands that we're going to suffer from the result of our fall. He understands our makeup. He understands we're not going to go 10 for 10. My favorite sport is baseball. I just love baseball, okay? If a baseball player bats, okay, he's a hitter, and he gets 3 hits out of 10 at bats, he's an all-star. If he gets 4, when's the last time there was a 400 hitter? I don't remember. Ted Williams? Or has there been one since then? I don't think Tony Gwynn flirted with it some years ago. If a man gets 400, he is a Hall of Famer. Wait. 400? He fails 60% of the time, and he's still considered worthy of the Hall of Fame. Husbands, wives, hopefully, If our spouse does good 9 out of 10 days, they're still a Hall of Famer in our eyes. Why are you going to concentrate on the one bad day? Why are you going to concentrate on that one bad day? If you want to hold that bad day against them, you may be impossible to live with. And some people are. If they hold that one thing, that one strikeout, that one swing and miss, and hold it and hold it and hold it and hold it, it's impossible to live amiably with a person like that. Parents, children, if your parent or your child has 8 good days out of 10, do you still consider them an all-star? Because that's doing pretty good, folks. I'm not condoning sin. I'm not justifying not living right. I'm not doing that. I'm just here tonight to say that in our closest relationships, in any of all of the relationships we're engaged in life, who should we have more grace and mercy with than those that are the closest to us? And often it's just the opposite. Siblings, brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters, they're lame on both feet. They're not perfect. They're going to do dumb things. Same thing with your friends. If anybody should be able to remember how a human being is made up, it probably should be another human being. This was a really different week. I invested time on the phone, incidents, events, situations, circumstances that had nothing to do with this church. Nothing. Nor in this church family. Nobody hid in this church room. Nobody. This week. Praise God, one of those ended up with Brother Mick having 7 visitors in his church today. And that's a blessing. He texted me. He said this afternoon, "You're winning our spring program. We had 7 visitors in church this morning." I said, "I want a Benelli, amen, 12-gauge. That's what I told him, if I'm winning it. So, and that's all I'll go into. But I think Maud is aware of that situation. And what God did was incredible. And I can't say any more than that. I just can't say more than that. Incredible. But I was on the phone with another situation, because this preacher that I'm acquainted with went on a rant in a message about a preacher that I'm good friends with. And, I mean, called his name out and just blasted away. And it all had to do with 2020. I think my calendar says 2022. And the COVID thing and, you know, church is closed, and he went off the rails publicly. And I called him. I said, "Brother, good grief." I said, you know, maybe he didn't use the best judgment. But then I told him about this story. I said, you know, just because he has the title of pastor doesn't mean that he still doesn't suffer from the results of the fall. What are you doing? Encourage the guy. Don't shoot him. What do you expect? And folks, just aren't understanding. And look, I'm not preaching down to you tonight. I'm stomping on my toes. And if I could go back and pull those 6 kids that are married right now, put them back in the home, I think I might even do some things differently in this whole area. They're not going to be perfect. I'm not saying excuse sin. I'm not saying let things go. But my heavens, some people are just Let up. Let up. Have a little mercy. Understanding is in order when our loved one's lameness shows. Now let me say this, number three. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, where'd you get that? The Bible puts it in this language. Thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay. All right. Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. In fact, he said, even treat your enemies the way you want them to treat you. You know, if this is my friend, if this is my friend and this is my enemy, okay? I'm going too far with this, Alan. Listen, I am just having fun. I got no problem with this brother up here, okay? No, that was fun this morning. It's been fun tonight. And I don't know if it'll be any fun Saturday, but we'll see. So if this is my friend and this is my enemy, if I have compassion and grace and forgiveness for my friend, so what? I mean, that's good, but who else wouldn't do that to their friend? But if I have compassion and grace on my enemy, now we're talking about an arena where not many people live. And that's where Jesus told us to live. Okay. Do you want someone to have understanding with you when you suffer from the results of your sin nature? The best way to make that happen is to treat others in the manner you want to be treated. So your lameness shows, and you think to yourself, oh my goodness, I hope my wife has mercy on me. My husband has mercy on me. Okay? Prepare by having mercy on your wife. Having mercy on your husband. Why does my husband get mad at me when I have one bad day out of 20? Why does my wife get mad at me when I have one bad day out of 10? Why do my parents have no patience with me when I don't do everything just perfect? Why do my children make no allowance for me to be human? The answer probably lies in the mirror. Try having a little bit yourself. If you want grace, guess what you should give? If you need mercy, guess what? Give mercy. If you need patient understanding, give patient understanding. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Look, somebody will probably interpret this message as me justifying sin, excusing sin, making allowance for sin, and he's saying for parents to be soft on their kids. That is not my message. That's not my intention. I am saying that over and over again. My intention is to help us realize that when we sit around the table with our loved ones and friends, we need to remember that everybody around that table, as wonderful as they are, they're still lame on both feet. And so am I. So am I. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Now, one more thought. Remember that types are not complete or perfect pictures. Well, when we go to live at the king's house, our feet will no longer be lame. When we go to live at the king's house, brother, our sin nature will be gone. Because when we get there, you know, yeah, no more headaches and no more stomach aches and no more flu and no more COVID and no more flu, and there never was any COVID. I'm just teasing, okay? But you know what I'm saying. But the greatest thing about that glorified body is no sin nature. I'll be able to live and walk as the Lord Jesus Christ without the temptation of sin. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. Shout while passing through the air. That'd be a great day, won't it? But until then, I have to live with lame feet. So does my wife. So do my children. And those sons and daughters involved, they're lame on 4 feet. And my friends and my church members and your pastor, we're all there, folks. We're all sitting at the king's table with lame feet. Can you handle that? You better. Amen. You better handle it. You better learn how to handle it. We all better learn how to handle it. Because that ain't changing until Jesus comes. Let's pray. Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts. I hope it rang in the hollows of our being. Lord, bless. We're trying to preach a lot of messages this year on, as for me and my house, family, marriage. Lord, convict us, show us where we need to do better. And Father, you know that we're not condoning sin. You know we're not making an excuse for rebellion. No. But we're lame on both feet. And so is our spouse. So are our children. So are our parents. Our friends, our fellow church members. Help us to do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. Speak to our hearts tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, Spirit, God touched my heart on this subject tonight. Needed this. Can I see your hand just saying God spoke to me tonight? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's open for salvation. The altar's open for baptism. The altar's open. We prayed. You raised your hand. We need to remember we're lame on both feet. It's just lame on both feet, folks.